What happens when our theology is driven by freshness instead of faithfulness? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled New Thing Theology. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Bob Leeko journeyed from the Word Faith movement to faith in Christ alone. The free online Issues, etc. journal. I was checking the online pre-registration for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference a little earlier this afternoon, and we have already surpassed in pre-registration what we had for the total registration and attendance at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference last summer. We were at 232 total attendance there on last summer's conference, and we've passed that by a couple already today. And that probably means if the trend stays true, we're going to be headed toward closer to 300 in attendance. We've got plenty of room where we're having this, a Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. Plenty of room for as many as want to come, but the hotel rooms are going quick, and if you're coming out of town and needing a hotel room and want to stay near the conference, you'll need to pre-register. So you can do so right now at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference logo there. Click on that. You'll find conference information. You'll find a way to register online. And if you need any questions answered whatsoever, Craig is always here, ready to, well, he's not always here. He's here during business hours, ready to take your call, or you can leave a message for him. 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig, 618-223-8385. It'll be your opportunity on June the 13th and 14th, coming up in just a couple weeks, to hear Craig Parton talk about making the case for the historical Jesus and making the case against Lutherans imitating evangelicals. Pastor Matt Harrison will be there talking about confessional Lutheranism. Jonathan Fisk will be making the case for being spiritual and religious. Pastor Will Whedon will be making the case for historic and solid hymnody and more at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference coming up very soon, June the 13th and the 14th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Joining us to talk about dating, a touchy subject for parents of small children who anticipate these difficult years ahead, parents of dating-age children, and there's always the debate as to what that age ought to be, or parents who are trying to keep their kids from dating until they're old enough. Joining us to talk about dating, Pastor Sam Schultheis. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California, and he's author of an article for Higher Things magazine titled A Nerdy Lutheran's Guide to Dating. Sam, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be on with you again.
You begin by telling the story of your dad taking you out on a fishing trip, kind of isolating you in the middle of a lake and yeah, having the talk with you. Tell us that story, and what did it mean to you then, and what does it mean to you now?
Excellent question. I mean, like all fathers and sons, we like to do a lot of those outdoor kinds of things. And growing up in Oregon, this was really easy. You could go anywhere within, you know, maybe half an hour out of the city. You could go camping. You could go fishing. I forget the exact lake where we were at. We had another similar chat in the Redwoods out on a hike once, too, down in Northern California on a similar road trip that we took. And, yeah, there must be something about that isolating part of it. But it was a perfect, you know, private place to talk. But yet it wasn't intimidating, really, although it was definitely, you know, awkward, a little nervous, that kind of thing. But, I mean, I remember it in part that, but I also remember even in the midst of the embarrassing nature of the subject, because you're a teenage boy and you're hearing your father, whom you have great admiration and respect for, talk about things that you don't normally hear your parents talk about, or really anybody for that matter, maybe outside of the usual friends and movies kinds of things. But I remember it still, even through the embarrassment or the awkwardness of it, feeling a profound respect and almost a fatherly, you know, son-like reverence for a father, knowing that it probably took a lot of courage for him, as scared as I was or as nervous as I was, no doubt took a lot of courage and, you know, facing the awkwardness for him to talk about that with me as well. And I'm very grateful. I was then, on the several occasions where this came up in different times. And that was the other thing, too. This wasn't just a one-time event. This was a repeated thing. Both my parents did this regularly, which is a helpful thing, too. And now, although my children are young, just thinking about that someday down the future makes you appreciate all the more the good gift of parents, and what a treasure the vocation is, now getting to experience it on the younger side of things as a father myself.
From a pastoral perspective, I guess we could say more generally, even a Christian perspective, is, for parents, is dating about getting just the right set of rules and parameters and kind of calculating when you have to have my daughter home or when you have to have your date home time to the second? What is dating really about? What's the real issue for parents from a Christian perspective?
Yeah, I think all of those kinds of sort of logistical matters, we'll call them. Not to say they're unimportant, the kinds of things you mentioned, and there are many more that come to parents' minds, but those are, of course, important. But really what comes first is, how do you, I guess you could say, the broad perspective of that. What's the broad brushstroke there? And I think the broad brushstroke there is kind of what Luther gets at in the sixth commandment in the Small Catechism, that we should fear and love God, that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in all we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other. And so the way we follow those sorts of rules or different parameters that parents lay down for us, and some of them are going to be different from family to family, but they're always done out of love. First, God loves us, and then we love one another, of course. As the epistles in John say, we love because Christ first loved us. And so our love and our relationships towards one another are going to first reflect, of course, the love that Christ has given to us. And that's going to be a gracious, abounding love, undeserved, unconditional love.
In as far as you can kind of sort these things out, is dating intended to be practice for marriage?
I would say so in a way. I mean, you are sort of testing how do relationships work, and how you function within them. How do men and women relate to each other? How does that person relate to your family? How do you interact with one another, especially as you get older and more towards the college years, and then dating becomes sort of this. You have this in the back of your mind: would I marry this person, or could I see myself marrying this person? And if you say no, then chances are it's probably not going to last very much longer. And if you say yes, then you got to ask yourself, well, why? What makes this a good fit, and more importantly, what makes this a godly relationship that will be blessed in holy matrimony someday?
I think the no is easy, because most people would say, well, then why am I wasting my time?
Exactly.
When the answer is yes, even from, say, a 17-year-old's perspective who doesn't know anything about life to speak of, saying, well, I think this is a person I could see myself marrying, there are pitfalls in that answer, too.
Certainly. Yeah, one difficulty is to say sort of one of the old myths or legends. I like to talk about this with our premarital counseling classes often. Is there only one perfect person in the world you could marry? And then after the fact, when you're married, of course you can say, well, yes, this is the person God intended me to marry, and this was that perfect one. But before you get married, you can't simply say that. And so to limit yourself to that at age 17 or 16 or 15, and again, not knowing the future, not knowing what our Lord has in store for you, not even knowing everything about that other person, perhaps, at the time. Time sometimes is the best thing really on your side in that respect, not to rush too hardly foolish into things.
We're talking about dating. Pastor Sam Schultheis is our guest. When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 27th, we're going to continue the conversation. He'll give a few examples that may serve, kind of communicate what a Christian view of dating can be. Stay tuned.
Your hands to yourself.
Are spiritual warfare and demon possession only found in the time of Jesus and the apostles? The Issues, Etc. book of the month for May is I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, The Issues, Etc. book of the month for May, 1-800-325-3040.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the Church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in His Church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about dating. Pastor Sam Schultheis is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California, and he's authored an article for Higher Things magazine, A Nerdy Lutheran's Guide to Dating. By the way, I should congratulate you. I understand you mentioned that you have small kids. You have a really small kid,
a brand new one. Yeah, Jonah. He's just had his one-month birthday on Saturday, so we're very pleased and joyful, having a lot of fun there. And then Zoe, our other little, she'll be three in June here coming up soon.
Okay, so I have to ask you this in light of that development. Maybe at three, well, no, at three they're precocious enough to both wonder and ask such questions. But to ask these questions that we're talking about that pertain to dating, like that we all know are kind of aiming in some sort of general way toward marriage, and parenting, and childhood, they get asked by three-year-olds, too. Where did that little baby come from?
Right, easily, yeah. We haven't actually had that question asked yet, although I'm expecting it any day, really. I mean, it's just because she's, like you said, very precocious, very, very inquisitive, and they like to talk and ask and find things out and learn and grow.
So you have mined a bit of recent pop culture to give some just kind of good, let's just call it what it is, kind of good pastoral advice for dating.
Exactly.
And you begin with some of the great love stories of recent pop culture, Harry Potter and Jenny Weasley. What's there, Pastor Schultheis?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that got me thinking about this article, I thought, well, how am I going to, I've been married not terribly long, but not terribly recently either. You know, we'll be celebrating our 9-year anniversary this summer. And I thought, what's the guy that's been married 9 years going to tell some high schoolers about dating? And I laughed at myself a little bit. I thought, well, tell them what you learned from your parents and, you know, use what you know. And I know nerdy things really well because I'm just a big nerd. So I use some of those things that I'm familiar with, both in reading and, like you said, pop culture and things. And with the Harry Potter and the Ginny Weasley example, it was really easy that they have good friendships and good dating relationships and good marriages are built on good friendships. If you're good friends, that just helps strengthen that bond. And I think you grow in that friendship as well as time goes on and as you go through the different events and landmarks of life, from the children to loved ones dying and going through those different life events. Those events bring you closer together and really strengthen and nurture that relationship in a way that is far surpasses normal friendships, because it's not a normal one. It's a very unique, a very blessed relationship and friendship.
Well, you say Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, oddly enough, kind of contain a parental lesson that you learned.
Yeah, one of fidelity. There's this great line, and I've watched all the Toy Story movies so many times with Zoe that I can't remember which exactly one it is. I think it's the second one when they're in the toy store, and the Barbie doll walks down the aisle, and Mr. Potato said, "I'm a married Spud. I'm a married Spud. You know, remember who you belong to. You belong to each other. You belong to Christ, and Christ has pledged his faithfulness to you, and therefore." You pledge your faithfulness to one another as husband and wife, and then reflect that in the way that you live your life in the world.
This is actually a piece of advice that I've given to my teenage son many times when it comes to girls and dating, and that is stay away from drama. There's enough drama in life without creating new. Where did you find that in pop culture?
Well, everywhere. I mean, watch the TV. Of the Kim Kardashian, the Kanye West kinds of stuff. That's the most recent marriage example down here in Southern California. But the movies, it's everywhere. I mean, it sells a lot of tickets. I think the example I used in the article was the Edward and Bella Twilight example. Sorry to fans if they're a big Twilight fans. But there was a lot of drama, and a lot of it was created by the characters, the protagonists themselves. Some of it to move the story along, some of it just because it was written about high schoolers. So, yeah, stay away from that. It's not helpful.
Do you even mind a bit of this really puts you in the nerd category. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Mario and Princess Peach from the classic video game. What did you find there, Pastor?
Yeah, it has to be the original one, too, with the doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. But the way that Mario, I mean, the whole point of the game is that Mario must tirelessly and continually go and rescue the princess. And like Paul says in Ephesians 5, that Christ lays down his life for the church and gives himself up that she might be clothed in white and a pure, holy, righteous, without spot or blemish bride. That is how Christ lives for us, his church, his bride. And so therefore husbands, really, in Ephesians 5, have that kind of commitment to their wives. Lay down your life for your wife. Die, give up yourself for your wife and sacrifice your needs for hers. And that I think was reflected in many different ways throughout the growing up process throughout my life with both my parents.
I mean, this really is, just to pause for a second there, even though you draw it from pop culture, this really is the primary notion that one draws from the New Testament on the not only the nature of the marriage relationship, but ultimately the nature of all relationships in the Christian's life, self-sacrifice in light of Christ's sacrifice.
Yeah, that's it, to be a living sacrifice as Christ has been a sacrifice for us. And then that really is the hub of all this Christian vocation, whether it's dating, relationships of any kind with your friends, and especially that important one of marriage.
Is that going to help, at least help, in resolving the big fear that a lot of parents have when it comes to dating, and that is the prospect of sex, where if a young man goes in realizing I'm not in this for me but for the other person, then it's a lot more difficult for him to, at least using that line of thinking, let the greedy sexual desires take over.
Oh, definitely. I think that the less we think about ourselves, the better, and especially when it comes to dating and relationships, putting the other person first, although, of course, it's always easier to say than do that, but to keep that in mind, no matter where you're, whether you're at the movie theater, whether you're, you know, some people, they put them, young people especially, we put ourselves in awkward positions sometimes when we're teenagers or college students, remember whose you are, and then you will, I think actions will follow suit from that.
And the final example that you pull from pop culture is from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. What is it?
Well, two of my favorite characters, one of my favorite scenes in the at the ending of the book, the very last book, The Return of the King, Samwise returns home after bidding farewell to Frodo, and they go out to the Grey Havens and then out to the Undying Lands. And Samwise comes home, and he sits with his family, Rose and Eleanor, his daughter, and he simply tells them, "I'm home," and then he's content. And joy and contentment really solace in what Christ has given us in all of our different relationships, in our vocation, is a blessed thing, to take refuge in all that Christ has done for us in his vocation.
I think one of the things that Christian parents sometimes may do is allow the fear, the anxiety of this situation to take over, without adequately communicating to their kids that, you know what, married life is really good. It's hard, I mean, it's some of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life, but it's really good. It is God's good intention for men and women, not uniformly across the board, but it is, generally speaking, God's good intention. What are your thoughts there?
I think that's absolutely true. And one of the, along with that fear, sometimes we tend to think, well, they'll learn it from their friends, or maybe they'll learn it from other, maybe they'll learn it at school or what have you. But who really should be teaching that? And as fearful, as daunting a task as it may seem, there really, I think, is no better reward. I have no doubt that throughout my growing up, my father and mother both had that sense of reward. And I mean, I haven't asked them personally about that, but now I think I will, to see how they felt about that. But that sense of I'm doing what is right here, because our children are going to find out answers about marriage and sex and dating from somewhere. If not from us, who then? And we're really in the best position as parents to provide our children with that loving, nurturing vocation, with our family, with that safe environment in which we can say that and say it often. The more often we say it, the easier, the better it will not only be received, but it'll be given too. And it's really just that's part of the joy of parenting too, is to share that with them. So often we hear the negativity of family and relationships, and you know, the dreaded in-laws kinds of thing comes up in the TV shows, and all this rather bad rap gets put on family and marriage and dating and sex, and we have so much more joy, so much better treasures to offer our Christian youth in the church, and what a privilege it is to do so.
Pastor Sam Schulheis is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California, and he's author of an article for Higher Things magazine titled A Nerdy Lutheran's Guide to Dating. Sam, thank you very much for being our guest, and again, congratulations on the new baby.
Thank you, Todd, and blessings with your day, and Christ peace be to everyone this Easter season.
One of the things that your kid faces when going off to college, going back to college, the dating situation, that's complicated in and of itself. There's a great organization called LCMSU that is there to provide resources, not only by way of directing them to solid Lutheran congregations, but to solid Lutheran resources throughout their college and university years. Find out more about LCMSU at lcms.org/LCMSU. lcms.org/LCMSU. It's a fearful prospect, and of course it is. Life is a bit fearful in that as well. We entrust our children in every situation to a Heavenly Father who, in Jesus Christ, His Son, as I so often say, loves them more than you do. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.